Well, for those who live in Boston, David, there are obviously lots of details, big and small, about that week that you just can't forget. But there's another city that was deeply affected by the attacks. That's Cambridge, just across the river. It's also home to runners, spectators, survivors, and first responders. But it was also in the excruciating position of having been home to the alleged perpetrators. The World's Jeb Sharp has more on that side of the story.
I live in Cambridge, so this is personal for me, too. It's a small town. We all seem to have multiple layers of connections to the story. Everybody knows somebody who knows somebody.
Marathon bombing has been sort of everywhere for me right from the get-go.
That's Henrietta Davis. She was mayor of Cambridge at the time of the bombings. For her, the saga began on the day of the marathon when she heard the explosions from her house.
I thought it was construction on the bridge that wasn't supposed to be happening on that day. And then I heard the ambulances and the fire engines and all of that.
Very quickly, Davis was engulfed by the story. She was on the phone immediately with friends and colleagues. As the day wore on, she learned that her chief of staff's girlfriend had been hit by shrapnel near the finish line. A young couple she knew had each lost a lower leg in the blasts. No matter where she turned, she couldn't get away from the awfulness. But that was only the beginning. 3 days later, the authorities released photos of the suspects. Youth worker Manuel Matos remembers the moment.
It was kind of scary because when they first released the photo, the first thing I said, that guy looks really familiar.
Suddenly, Cambridge was central to the story. The alleged perpetrators were a pair of brothers from a local Russian family with roots in Chechnya and Dagestan. They had both graduated from the high school and were well known to students and teachers there, especially the younger one, Jahar. Matos was a fellow student.
I didn't know Jahar personally. I'd seen him around school, but I just knew the face looked familiar. Then my friend tweeted me. He was like, hey, Manny, doesn't that look a bit like Jahar? And I was like, you know what? That does look a lot like him. But of course, you're not going to think it's anybody from here. So we kind of just laughed it off. There's no way. When they finally released the name, we were just like in shock.
Everybody in Cambridge was in shock, whether they knew the Tsarnaevs or not. By that time, a harrowing night of drama had unfolded like a bad action movie. There was the murder of MIT police officer Sean Collier, a carjacking, a car chase, a gun battle that turned the streets of nearby Watertown into a war zone. Before long, Tamerlan Tsarnaev lay dead in the street, and Jahar was on the run. Friday morning, we all woke up to find ourselves in lockdown with a manhunt underway outside. The high school principal, Damon Smith, heard a lot of it from his house.
I was awoken with the loud thunder sound of the pressure cooker bombs that they were using that evening blowing up, and then the huge amount of gunfire, more gunfire than I had ever experienced or heard before, and then just a constant parade of police cars driving down my street.
I happen to live on the same street. It's hard to express just how eerie that day was. People cooped up inside, military vehicles on the streets, helicopters flying overhead. Damon Smith says on top of everything else, it was hard to take in that the alleged perpetrators had attended his school.
These are people who lived and were, you know, supported and raised and, you know, developed strong connections with people in this community. And to see that they were capable of doing such unspeakable kind of acts is just, it was really hard to fathom.
You know, there was an incredible feeling of unreality about this.
Again, Henrietta Davis.
On television were all these kids that, you know, some of us knew, talking about knowing Jahar Tsarnaev and, you know, what their responses were, their disbelief. And they simply could not compute that that kid could be the same one who was involved with the bombing.
There were so many people who did love Jahar, especially the kids from the wrestling team. Almost every kid who was on the wrestling team that I did know posted videos of how it was when they were hanging with him. They showed when they used to set the mats down in their basements and they used to spar, they used to practice.
All that day, those kids were transfixed, waiting to see what would happen. By late afternoon, the younger Tsarnaev was discovered hiding in a boat in a Watertown yard. There was a cathartic moment when he was finally captured. Cheers erupted in the streets. "We got him," people texted. Flags waved. But for those who knew Jahar, it was different.
I kind of put myself in his shoes, especially when he was inside the boat. I could only imagine how scared someone would be. Even though they committed that crime, like I understand he's still a human being.
All this happened during spring vacation week. Yvonne Appiah remembers going back to school the following Monday. She was a senior.
the school was quiet. Everyone was scared. It's a pretty big high school, so usually it's like loud. Everyone is so happy. But it's like, no, this is not the time to be happy. It's like people lost their lives. Like people lost their legs, you know. Someone is in a wheelchair when they could have been walking. People were crying because people knew him. So it's just kind of like, how could he do something like that, you know? It was scary.
Appiah grew up in Ghana and only arrived in Cambridge as a sophomore. It bothers her that the accused were immigrants like her. She worries they've given immigrants a bad name. She's now a freshman at the University of Massachusetts. When people hear she went to high school in Cambridge, they say,
oh, wasn't that where the bomb and guys went to school? It's like, you know, it's always going to be there. Someone does something bad, it just puts a bad image on the whole, like, community.
And that image was in sharp contrast to Cambridge's own sense of itself as tolerant and diverse. There was outrage that the suspects had betrayed the city's values, but there were also misgivings about whether the city had somehow failed the suspects.
It's hard not sometimes to think, well, what did we miss? You know, did we do something wrong?
Again, high school principal Damon Smith.
But, you know, I'm beginning to come to peace with the idea that, no, it's, you know, we have a huge impact as a school on the life of a young person, but we're not the only impact. As much as we thought we were, there were obviously things that were happening unbeknownst to us that were shaping his development in ways that we didn't see.
A year later, Smith says the school is moving forward, but the intensity of it all is still right below the surface. He calls it the new normal. As for former Mayor Henrietta Davis, the biggest takeaway is simply that Cambridge can't escape the rest of the world. Cozy as it may feel, it's buffeted by the same dangerous cross currents.
I'm certainly humbled by how little one community can do for one family or one child when the forces, global forces out there, make such a bigger difference. And in particular, I think once I understood a little bit more about Chechnya and the history of violence in Chechnya, I realized that we were kind of in a different space. They had a whole world that was going on around them, and it wasn't something that we could really understand, control, or have an impact on.
In that sense, Cambridge is a changed and chastened place. One year on, victims are being remembered, survivors are healing, and life for most of us has gone back to normal. But the troubles of the world do seem that much closer.
That's my colleague Jeb Sharp reporting from Cambridge, just across the river from me here on the Common in Boston. And I have to say, what we just heard in the report rings so true for me, since I live in Cambridge as well. The story of what happened last year in Boston still lingers in the air there, and you're reminded of it whenever you drive around the city.